Вариант 19.
Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «AF» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
Holidays are becoming more and more commercialized. People buy and give loads of gifts, and quite a lot of them are useless. That's because people feel the need to please their friends and relatives by giving them something, but they don't have time to think of a useful gift. As a result, people get loads of unnecessary stuff, which later they want to get rid of. As for me, I never buy my men anything. Instead, I cook them something sweet, such as chocolate truffles, cookies, brownies, or cupcakes. I prefer to show my love and affection with something from me rather than a store-bought gift.
Speaker B.
I don't usually give gifts, but if I do, I make sure I know the person very well. So I just buy them something they really need, not just something that would remind them of me. It doesn't matter whether the gift is sentimental or not. I just buy them something practical. Say, my father loves eating, so I am spotting a running watch, for I believe he needs it. And my parents gave me a portable typewriter when I was about 8, which I used for about 20 years, I think. That was a really good present.
Speaker C.
I believe people need to give and receive presents, as gifts are a physical representation of relationships between people. Moreover, gift-giving offers people a chance to create lasting social networks, as most people will probably feel the need to return the gift with a socially appropriate response. In short, gift-giving is a social way to bring members of a community closer together. It is also a way to correct missteps, recognize special relationships between people, and mark important cultural events such as holidays or birthdays. So gift-giving is an important form of mutual communication.
Speaker D.
A gift is something you give to a person without any obligation. Gift-giving should make us feel good, as well as making the receiver of the gifts feel good. I remember my brother gave me a year subscription to the National Film Theatre when I was 16, and that was a really valuable present. There were no videos or DVDs in those days. So the National Film Theatre was the only place to go to see the old films that I liked. I felt great, and so did he. Giving gifts shows your affection and appreciation, and I believe this is what the world needs.
Speaker E.
I really don't get the "how much are they worth" questions in regard to what gift, if any, to bring. The suggestion that some people have to make sure your gift will cover the cost of your dinner if you go to the reception makes no sense to me. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you should buy cheap gifts, but I'm just a fan of getting people presents that I think they'll like without breaking the bank, regardless of whether they have a sit-down dinner reception or a cake and punch reception.
Speaker F.
I really can't say what kind of presents I prefer. I enjoy books and DVDs and stuff like that. However, the most pleasant present for me is always the presence of my friends at my birthday party. Since my birthday is in the middle of the summer vacation, I'm alone most of the time on that day. Some of my friends are still abroad, and others are just about to be leaving on a holiday trip. So whenever there is someone to celebrate it, I'm very grateful. I like to have just one day when people focus on me, and I have real fun.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
Holidays are becoming more and more commercialized. People buy and give loads of gifts, and quite a lot of them are useless. That's because people feel the need to please their friends and relatives by giving them something, but they don't have time to think of a useful gift. As a result, people get loads of unnecessary stuff, which later they want to get rid of. As for me, I never buy my men anything. Instead, I cook them something sweet, such as chocolate truffles, cookies, brownies, or cupcakes. I prefer to show my love and affection with something from me rather than a store-bought gift.
Speaker B.
I don't usually give gifts, but if I do, I make sure I know the person very well. So I just buy them something they really need, not just something that would remind them of me. It doesn't matter whether the gift is sentimental or not. I just buy them something practical. Say, my father loves eating, so I am spotting a running watch, for I believe he needs it. And my parents gave me a portable typewriter when I was about 8, which I used for about 20 years, I think. That was a really good present.
Speaker C.
I believe people need to give and receive presents, as gifts are a physical representation of relationships between people. Moreover, gift-giving offers people a chance to create lasting social networks, as most people will probably feel the need to return the gift with a socially appropriate response. In short, gift-giving is a social way to bring members of a community closer together. It is also a way to correct missteps, recognize special relationships between people, and mark important cultural events such as holidays or birthdays. So gift-giving is an important form of mutual communication.
Speaker D.
A gift is something you give to a person without any obligation. Gift-giving should make us feel good, as well as making the receiver of the gifts feel good. I remember my brother gave me a year's subscription to the National Film Theatre when I was 16, and that was a really valuable present. There were no videos or DVDs in those days, so the National Film Theatre was the only place to go to see the old films that I liked. I felt great, and so did he. Giving gifts shows your affection and appreciation, and I believe this is what the world needs.
Speaker E.
I really don't get the "how much are they worth" questions in regard to what gift, if any, to bring. The suggestion that some people have to make sure your gift will cover the cost of your dinner if you go to the reception makes no sense to me. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you should buy cheap gifts, but I'm just a fan of getting people presents that I think they'll like without breaking the bank, regardless of whether they have a sit-down dinner reception or a cake and punch reception.
Speaker F.
I really can't say what kind of presents I prefer. I enjoy books and DVDs and stuff like that. However, the most pleasant present for me is always the presence of my friends at my birthday party. Since my birthday is in the middle of the summer vacation, I'm alone most of the time on that day. Some of my friends are still abroad, and others are just about to be leaving on a holiday trip. So whenever there is someone to celebrate it, I'm very grateful. I like to have just one day when people focus on me, and I have real fun.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений AG соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. и о чем в тексте не сказано, то есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hello, may I speak to Mr. Adams?
This is Mr. Adams speaking.
Hi, Mr. Adams. My name is Jenny Shields, and I'm calling from Walker's Oil Service. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks.
As you may or may not know, Walker Oil is one of the oldest and best-known oil companies in Massachusetts. It has already been on the market for 10 years, with a reputation for high-quality oil, excellent maintenance service, and timely delivery.
That's great. And what is the purpose of your call?
We're looking for new customers, Mr. Adams. Could you tell me whether you use oil, gas, or electric heat?
We use oil heat, but my wife wants to change it for gas heat.
I don't think it's a good idea. Oil burners are fuel efficient, and they are workhorses. However, they do need regular maintenance to prevent costly fuel bills. Could you please tell me if you have had your burner inspected or cleaned in the last 6 months?
I don't really recall the last time we had the burner checked. Maybe last year?
I would like one of our service people to stop by so that you can take advantage of our free inspection and cleaning. Is Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. a convenient time for you?
You know, my wife and I are on a fixed income and we really can't afford to explore trial offers at this time.
I completely understand, Mr. Adams. Walker Oil is known for delivering efficient and affordable solutions for home heating. In addition, you will also save a lot of money each year on your fuel bills with our free annual cleaning and inspection service.
My burner seems to be working just fine.
Mr. Adams, do you remember how cold it was last winter? Fuel prices skyrocketed and many people had burners that broke down during the coldest weeks of the year. With our free annual inspections, you'll never have to worry about breakdowns during those fierce cold spells.
Okay, well, I suppose I could see you on Wednesday.
Mr. Adams, this offer will allow you to have peace of mind this winter knowing that you took the time to have your burner inspected and cleaned, thus reducing your overall fuel costs. Plus, you get a free oil fill-up when you sign up for our regular oil delivery service. Mr. Adams, I have you down for Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you on Wednesday. Have a pleasant evening. Goodbye.
Bye.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Hello, may I speak to Mr. Adams?
This is Mr. Adams speaking.
Hi, Mr. Adams. My name is Jenny Shields, and I'm calling from Walker's Oil Service. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks.
As you may or may not know, Walker Oil is one of the oldest and best-known oil companies in Massachusetts. It has already been on the market for 10 years, with a reputation for high-quality oil, excellent maintenance service, and timely delivery.
That's great. And what is the purpose of your call?
We're looking for new customers, Mr. Adams. Could you tell me whether you use oil, gas, or electric heat?
We use oil heat, but my wife wants to change it for gas heat.
I don't think it's a good idea. Oil burners are fuel efficient, and they are workhorses. However, they do need regular maintenance to prevent costly fuel bills. Could you please tell me if you have had your burner inspected or cleaned in the last 6 months?
I don't really recall the last time we had the burner checked. Maybe last year?
I would like one of our service people to stop by so that you can take advantage of our free inspection and cleaning. Is Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. a convenient time for you?
You know, my wife and I are on a fixed income and we really can't afford to explore trial offers at this time.
I completely understand, Mr. Adams. Walker Oil is known for delivering efficient and affordable solutions for home heating. In addition, you will also save a lot of money each year on your fuel bills with our free annual cleaning and inspection service.
My burner seems to be working just fine.
Mr. Adams, do you remember how cold it was last winter? Fuel prices skyrocketed and many people had burners that broke down during the coldest weeks of the year. With our free annual inspections, you'll never have to worry about breakdowns during those fierce cold spells.
Okay, well, I suppose I could see you on Wednesday.
Mr. Adams, this offer will allow you to have peace of mind this winter knowing that you took the time to have your burner inspected and cleaned, thus reducing your overall fuel costs. Plus, you get a free oil fill-up when you sign up for our regular oil delivery service. Mr. Adams, I have you down for Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you on Wednesday. Have a pleasant evening. Goodbye.
Bye.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью с дизайнером. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Van, we know that you went to college and studied psychology, and now you are a full-time designer. Have you always wanted to go into designing?
Well, I knew this at a young age. My mother said I could draw since I was 2 years old. So even though I went off into management, and then I was an account executive right before I quit, I would always still go home and paint pictures and draw or daydream about the stuff that I could do. I didn't really follow my passion until it came to a point where I couldn't concentrate on what I was doing at my 9-to-5 job, and I knew it was time for me to give it a chance and see what would happen.
So as a designer, do you do both clothes and shoes?
Well, it actually started with clothing. Back in 2001, I was in college, and I started airbrushing t-shirts. I mean, everybody's been airbrushing t-shirts forever, so it wasn't like I was really standing out. Then I moved from there to designing tennis shoes and then moved into the beginning phases of trying to start my own shoe line, which is what I am working on right now.
When you first began, was it mainly just making the shoes a different colour or were you putting your art or accessories on the shoe?
When I first started, I was just putting different colours on the tennis shoe and then it started evolving. I realised that I could now transfer to the shoe some of the stuff I was doing on the t-shirt. It was so new to people at the time, and actually it is still even new now. People look at it and say, "Wow, you paint on tennis shoes?" So you can imagine what it was like in 2003 when I was painting on tennis shoes and putting my own art on them. It was fun. I was trying to do something different every time I picked up a new pair of shoes.
So how do you come up with your own designs? Do people just hand you their shoes and say, "Go at it"?
Yes, definitely. That happened when I first started, and it happens a lot now. Some people will give me a theme and say, "I like this sport, I like this team, can you do something around that?" Then I would just brainstorm, come up with something, pitch the idea to them, and if they like it, do it. So half the time is me composing an idea and putting it onto my webpage, and people seeing it and saying, "Hey, I want to buy that." The other half is people coming to me and giving me their shoes and asking me to just run with it and do something different with it.
So tell me about the 20th Century Fox promotion for the upcoming Wolverine Origins movie. How did that come about?
You know, it's a trip, because I didn't even think that they would listen to me. But it turned out that some of them had seen my work before, because Will Adams is in the movie, and he had worn some of my Obama sneakers last year to an award show. They didn't know my name, but they had seen the Obama tennis shoe around, so it was a lot easier for me to pitch the idea of me helping promote their movie with the shoe.
That's awesome! You mentioned that you're working on your own shoe line. What's your vision for the line?
I want to start it off with what's called a lifestyle shoe. I plan to just touch on different subjects that a lot of other companies haven't. Like, I have the Obama shoe, which definitely bridged the gap. So I want to continue to do that. And I also want to put biblical things on tennis shoes. So I have got a whole host of things that I am trying to do. But I want to start them off at that level, then move on and eventually get into athletic shoes. I'm just trying to get in where I fit in right now. But there is always that other level that you've got to get to, and that is what I'm working towards.
Where's the inspiration for your art? Is it music? Things you see?
I am inspired more by musicians than I am by artists. The reason is that musicians are so talented. Composers paint pictures with music, and I just think it's so amazing. But my greatest motivation is hot issues. I am inspired by what I think is important for people to understand or for people to know. If there is a subject that I feel is not getting enough light, then I will put it on a tennis shoe to try to bring more awareness to it.
Thanks for taking the time to speak with me about your designs and upcoming projects. I definitely wish you continued success.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Van, we know that you went to college and studied psychology, and now you are a full-time designer. Have you always wanted to go into designing?
Well, I knew this at a young age. My mother said I could draw since I was 2 years old, so even though I went off into management, and then I was an account executive right before I quit, I would always still go home and paint pictures and draw or daydream about the stuff that I could do. I didn't really follow my passion until it came to a point where I couldn't concentrate on what I was doing at my 9-to-5 job, and I knew it was time for me to give it a chance and see what would happen.
So as a designer, do you do both clothes and shoes?
Well, it actually started with clothing. Back in 2001, I was in college, and I started airbrushing t-shirts. I mean, everybody's been airbrushing t-shirts forever, so it wasn't like I was really standing out. Then I moved from there to designing tennis shoes and then moved into the beginning phases of trying to start my own shoe line, which is what I am working on right now.
When you first began, was it mainly just making the shoes a different colour or were you putting your art or accessories on the shoe?
When I first started, I was just putting different colours on the tennis shoe and then it started evolving. I realised that I could now transfer to the shoe some of the stuff I was doing on the t-shirt. It was so new to people at the time, and actually it is still even new now. People look at it and say, wow, you paint on tennis shoes? So you can imagine what it was like in 2003 when I was painting on tennis shoes and putting my own art on them. It was fun. I was trying to do something different every time I picked up a new pair of shoes.
So how do you come up with your own designs? Do people just hand you their shoes and say, go at it?
Yes, definitely. That happened when I first started, and it happens a lot now. Some people will give me a theme and say, I like this sport, I like this team, can you do something around that? Then I would just brainstorm, come up with something, pitch the idea to them, and if they like it, do it. So half the time is me composing an idea and putting it onto my webpage, and people seeing it and saying, hey, I want to buy that. The other half is people coming to me and giving me their shoes and asking me to just run with it and do something different with it.
So tell me about the 20th Century Fox promotion for the upcoming Wolverine Origins movie. How did that come about?
You know, it's a trip, because I didn't even think that they would listen to me. But it turned out that some of them had seen my work before, because Will Adams is in the movie, and he had worn some of my Obama sneakers last year to an award show. They didn't know my name, but they had seen the Obama tennis shoe around, so it was a lot easier for me to pitch the idea of me helping promote their movie with the shoe.
That's awesome! You mentioned that you're working on your own shoe line. What's your vision for the line?
I want to start it off with what's called a lifestyle shoe. I plan to just touch on different subjects that a lot of other companies haven't. Like, I have the Obama shoe, which definitely bridged the gap, so I want to continue to do that. And I also want to put biblical things on tennis shoes, so I have got a whole host of things that I am trying to do. But I want to start them off at that level, then move on and eventually get into athletic shoes. I'm just trying to get in where I fit in right now. But there is always the other level that you've got to get to, and that is what I'm working towards.
What is the inspiration for your art? Is it music? Things you see?
I am inspired more by musicians than I am by artists. The reason is that musicians are so talented. Composers paint pictures with music, and I just think it's so amazing. But my greatest motivation is hot issues. I am inspired by what I think is important for people to understand or for people to know. If there is a subject that I feel is not getting enough light, then I will put it on a tennis shoe to try to bring more awareness to it.
Thanks for taking the time to speak with me about your designs and upcoming projects. I definitely wish you continued success.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.